just like with my scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when I first got into it, man, it was all about learning as much as I could because I wanted to be comfortable. And when you start diving, there's no way you're comfortable.
Well, I thought it was always interesting that scuba diving, actually like skydiving, inherently pretty easy, and all the training is to teach you what to do when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So once you know what to do when something goes wrong, you can just relax and enjoy the ride and hope nothing goes wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Particularly in skydiving.
Well, either one, your margin for error is very little. You drown in and toast in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So there isn't even enough time to get a rescue party and go, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
And with diving as well, skydiving as well. But that's the second component. And the third piece of the training is development. Management leadership development. What
mm-hmm.
are we doing to take our people's skills to the new level? And we're talking about doing all of this for exempt and non-exempt staff members, and we began this process over a year ago in terms of just assessing what was.
Mm-hmm.
And then started building the systems, and it wasn't until we started building the systems that then WC said, ooh, they're serious about this. And, I'm not quite sure that I like what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really been having some fun. Yesterday was very productive. It's very interesting. WC's approach is one that's much more intuitive and much more based upon critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody gets it, then the new person coming on will get it. And, you know, some people learn that way. Some people are very adaptable and don't require any guide. They just get it. But that's not the masses. And so it was a very interesting point that was made just yesterday that, you know what, it might work for you and some others, but it doesn't work for the masses.
Yeah.
And I think he got it because he's just so resisted wanting to put anything in writing. And I said, man, you never put it in writing, then you got no accountability.
Yeah.
None. Zero accountability. So,
well, and I think there's if you are growing at a rate where you really have to be running people in the door, then it's much harder for the osmosis process to work. Because you don't have, if you're growing slowly and you can pick them one at a time, you can probably get away with it for a while anyway. But certainly not if you're trying to create any kind of velocity.
Well, I'm just very excited that we're at where we are, and that WC plays such an active and interested role.
Mm-hmm.
That is not always typical with an operator.
So who all do you have there? Jerry and Nick and.
Well, not Nick, but we've got Jerry. We've got all three of our retail regional managers. We've got this training manager that I brought in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I'm able to be here today as opposed to sitting in those meetings. We've got the consultant that worked with us in the initial training assessment and the development of the blueprint for what we were starting to develop.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Ray Blanchard. I don't know if you've ever met Ray.
Yeah, I know of Ray.
Yeah, that's a dear buddy of WC's, who's a transformational, attitudinal a trainer, but not a skills guy.
Mm-hmm.
And our people are screaming skills.
Yeah.
Tell me, I want to know how you feel, but first, man.
Yeah.
How do I wash the shirt?
Yeah, right.
So he's there. We've got one retail assistant manager from our Newport Beach store. She's also with us. So that's the group.
Hmm.
And like I said, I want to look forward to getting off over there a little later this afternoon. I've got another compensation issue with our warehouse, working on a new plan for them, but having a good day.
Yeah.
How many people do you usually get on these calls?
It varies all over the place. I mean, I don't know that we've ever had more than, three or four. Usually my buddy Edmund Wu from South Carolina calls in and haven't heard anything from him yet.
And how often have you had zero callers?
Once.
Well, I might be. We might be looking at. We've held the record.
Yeah, I think when it was when I did it, we got zero. Because I did a tape once.
Well, you talk to yourself.
I know. I learn. But we did get some good comments. Like you got that comment from John Dew.
Yes, thank you very much for passing that along. You know, I haven't talked with John forever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it seems like forever. And, you know, last time we had spoke, he was still with Inventures. Actually president there, but they were running into some difficulties, and the writing was on the wall. So he mentioned he'd be making a move, and it was good to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm a big fan of his. I learned more from him and was more impressed by what he was able to do with Gus at the old spaghetti factory, because he came in with a vision that, you know, you can't just go out there and hire these eagles. You got to start with sparrows.
Yeah.
And so he long ago made the commitment that I'm going to partner with the various hotel and restaurant programs, and I'm going to grow these people, and I'm going to really be very cognizant of the evolution that the graduate goes through when they hit the workplace, because there's some real key windows where people start, ooh, did I make the right choice? And
uh-huh.
There's different support that a college grad with a hotel restaurant degree needs. And then a year and a half into it, there's another spot where, you know, they're talking to their buddies and fellow alumni, well, what are you doing? And I'm kind of feeling stagnant. I mean, you have to, there's key points where you boost them up. And he really took a real strong interest in those individuals and knew that they had the talent, they just needed to be developed. And as a result, I think he helped with that, helped that business flourish when others were having one hell of a time trying to attract people. He wasn't blown out of the water with paying exorbitant fees because he was growing his own.
Yeah.
And I was always impressed. I tried at RU to do a bit of that, the campus work, because I knew, guess what, guys, it's a piece of our strategy. It's not the whole strategy, but there's certainly some room. And, you know, I'm pleased to report that out of the 15 people that we hired when I gave this a shot back in 89,
uh-huh.
One is still with the company.
Huh.
And that individual happens to be running Palisade. So from my perspective, if you get one general manager out of that group,
yeah.
You've done your deed. Now, it's very expensive. It takes a lot of time and effort. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, I had 14 failures. I say, shit, I got one that goes on to be a successful general manager for us. It has worked. And that fellow, quite frankly, has been a GM with that company now for six, 7 years.
I always thought, particularly having come out of a program like that, I have been been critical of them to the extent that I think it's real easy to produce kids with what I call a golden ass complex mm-hmm. that come out as God's gift to the industry, and I should be a VP making 120 grand a year, you know, right out of the chute. I mean, I think they're good promissory notes, but they got a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your experience of, I don't know if that, I mean, if that's just my own bias or...
No, well, at Pullman, I got to tell you, they've done an excellent job of giving the dose of reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's school by school.
Yeah.
And it's truly individual by individual and the type of upbringing and parents that you've had, but there's no question, there's quite a few of them that figure, hey... my shit doesn't stink, and
yeah.
You don't recognize this, and why don't you give me six figures out of the school?
Can you get past that?
No. You know, those people you just pass on.
Yeah.
You know, eventually they get it. But, if someone comes at you with that, it's like, guess what, you need to spend some time out in the real world. The other thing which I think you know, a lot of people don't realize is just making that appearance on campus. You know, unfortunately, the fallout in terms of the number of people that actually go to a hotel or restaurant school and stay in the business is pretty high. Still, the ones that you've got a prime demographic there in terms of potential folks, and if you make a good showing, mm-hmm. people will think about you in 15, 16 months. Did I make the right choice? Well, God, I remember those guys, and they were doing this and that. Let me give them a call.
Yeah. Huh.
So there's residual payoff that you really can't put up. It's tough to put hard dollars to it.
You played that game for a long time, didn't you?
Yes.
What would you say, since we've got a little bit of time and we can do whatever we want to do, and we cut this short and let you get back to your stuff if nobody else checks in, what would you say are kind of hanging offenses? When you said that, you know, people come out with the Golden Ass Complex, you really just pass on because you really can't work with them. Anything else that you notice that would be kind of a red flag to you that just said, let's move on to the next candidate?
Boy, that's a great question. I mean, part of this...
I mean, I realize that's generalizing a lot, too.
Yeah, that's... And it is. Every individual is unique.
Let me put it this way. There are some things that maybe with your having... For you having played the game for as long as you have, that would be a red flag to you. That somebody else who may not have that same depth of experience might not be a red flag to them, but it should at least be sort of a yellow one. Something that said, ask a few more questions, check this out a little bit closer.
You know, I think, are we just talking a college graduate?
Anywhere. I mean,
if it's anywhere, there's a bunch of, I think, red flags, and they all go back to basically the, you know, you look at what it is that you're looking for.
Because, uh-huh.
again, it has to be relative to what you're looking for. So the skills, characteristics, experiences. Aside from showing up to the interview unprepared,
mm-hmm.
or late, to me, the best someone gives you is in the interview process or the first couple of days on the job. You know, if they're not early the first couple of days on the job, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think someone showing up for an interview tardy, or I'm not disheveled, if you would, is a red flag. I always look for just holes,
mm-hmm.
either in their experience or their story. If they're shooting straight with me, the story should be smooth and easy to recite.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old saying, thou dost complainest too much.
Yeah.
I will always want to, you know, understand, and it has to make sense to you. If it doesn't make sense, then, you know, you're scratching your head. The moves that you've made, tell me about the motivation, the whys, and the what fors.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mind if someone's been fired. I don't mind if someone's, you know, made some, I'll tell you, one of the best hires I ever made was an individual who right out of the gate said, Tom, listen, you gotta know something. I paid the ultimate price for a boneheaded indiscretion. You know, I was so driven by delivering the financial results, I fudged the inventory. I got caught. I lost my job. I paid the ultimate price. Now, guess what? If you don't want to talk to me, I'd understand. I'd appreciate that. But you'll find this out anyway, so before we go any further, I need to tell you that. And one of the best hires I've ever made.
Huh.
If I find out after the fact that you've lied to me, you're toast. I mean, if you want... What's
yeah,
the red
that's
flag?
That's a behavior pattern.
Yes. So, but, you know, I've fallen asleep in the interview. you know, I'm pretty understanding, but I need someone to be able to put two cohesive thoughts together. People that get lost in their own train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I? Well, what was I? It's like, well, man, you better get some sleep. Or
yeah.
Hello, hello. So those are red flags. Yeah, I think you have to be empathetic. Most people are not out there interviewing every day.
Yeah.
Now, of course, those people that have had, you know, six jobs in the last year, well, shit, they're great interviewers. I mean, I even watch...
Somebody gives a too good an interview.
But I think those individuals, you can spot the ones that are just too slick. But I don't, you know, I don't think there's anything that someone could do that I'd just say, you know, get lost. I would recommend most use the time to determine who they want to see based upon looking at their background or their application.
Where do you find the people for, well, say for the restaurant side of things now?
Every competitor out there, we're in a pretty good spot. You know, we've done some advertising in Nation's Restaurant News, but that just gets you people from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting enough, we can advertise for an assistant manager, and you're getting VPs of operations.
Oh, really?
That's kind of the nature of Nation's Restaurant News. I think most of what we're doing is on a local level. People know us. The other thing is we're continuing to do a very strong job. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the internal development and promotion.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a large number of people who we're seeing leadership skill and talent and giving them an opportunity to step up, and that's where we're getting a lot of our great folks. It's another thing that's a surprise for me is that there are a lot of managers out there in the food service game that just get tired of the BS. And what attracted them to the business was when they felt like they were genuinely making a difference on the guest experience. So they leave the 60, 70, 80-hour a week nonsense and end up coming to work with us and see, wow, you guys got a nice deal here. So they'll come on as a bartender or a server or what have you. You know, I'm just taking a break from this management thing. It's not what it's cracked up to be in this crazy business.
Uh-huh.
They come on board and they see how we operate. Say, you know what? I'd like to give that a shot. I could see myself back in management in this environment. Which is...
We have met the enemy and he is us.
Yes. Well, that's, you know, I look at our industry, or the food service industry in general, we're our own worst enemies in terms of turning people off of the game.
No one local group, in fact, who still has their managers on schedule 70 hours.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that's
when we look at ourselves and we wonder, why is it so tough to staff this business, or why do we have such a high turnover? Well, don't take a rocket scientist. But again, we're all fighting the same margin game in the food service business.
Yeah.
And you're just getting squeezed. And everybody's out there, I mean, God, who's going to... Next thing you know, they're going to start paying you to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, probably.
How can you compete with that?
Well, how can... I mean, where do benefit packages fall into all this? Because I know there's still... And in terms of things that, as an industry, we don't do well, at least on the independent level, is health coverage and things like that. Where does that fall within the...
You know, Bill, I think it goes back to why it's a young person's business. The sad...
So we hire 22-year-old immortals that...
Yeah. The throwaway, guess what, they're not going to be around that long. I very often looked at my experience at Restaurants Unlimited after I was into it for many years and said, you know what, they're asking us to be visionaries here. They're asking us to be leaders. they're asking us to look into the future beyond just tomorrow and next year. So I did that, and I looked and I said, God, I've been here for 10 years. How many people have I seen retire? One guy. He was the handyman. And it was old Dale, sweetheart of a guy. You know, one of the typical handyman, he's missing about three or four fingers.
And, yeah, right.
And Dale's goodbye was a fishing pole and a, you know, a nice fishing backpack type thing. Dale, see ya. Have fun. And I think that speaks volumes about our business.
This is your life.
Because if you're truly visionary, you're truly looking at how am I building some equity, it's not a place where you retire. People don't even think like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you did, if you were able to do that, and there's a handful out there that have, but it's a very small number. And it's those that typically those independents that say, you know what, I'm gonna keep this person with me. The only way I can keep this person with me is give them a livable wage. I've got to share the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to have a very successful restaurant. You can make some good money in this business, but you got to have a hell of a volume, and you got to be prepared to give it away.
Yeah.
So if you do that, I mean, Nick Nicholas has been one that I think is, you know, it's amazing what he's done, and look at the tenure he gets. And in some regards, yes, he's buying that loyalty. But there's also just the reality of what it costs to live today.
Sure. Well, Pete Harmon.
Yes. And a perfect example. Now, some have tried and failed, the Sambo's Fraction of the Action. But there's something to the...
Fraction of the Action didn't fail. The guys that bought Sambo's that discontinued Fraction of the Action.
Yes. So, but, you know, what happens to the guys in the chains that are over 40 on a unit level? You don't see them. They're not there. Their legs have given out on them. Now, talk about an independent. Yeah, you got a lot of people that go out and they'll do their own gig.
Yeah.
And then all the chain operators are kind of looking at each other. Well, what happened? Why is this? Yeah, it's just a different... It's not rocket science, but too many people have got their hands in the pot. And again, you got to give it away to get it. And the restaurant business too, as you know, Bill, it's a passion. You got to. There's not a lot of money in it.
Well, certainly, if you don't love it, there certainly isn't enough money in it.
Yes, I'm convinced you have to have huge passion for serving. For, you know, serving the public, for delighting people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hospitality. You got to have. You know, it's the old saying. You got to have Primax in your veins. If you don't, this is the wrong gig. You're going to work way too many hours. All your friends are going to be out. You're having a good time on the weekends and doing this and doing that. Meanwhile, you're working.
I got a question for you. I don't think we've ever talked about this. This has been one of those little dumb ideas that's niggled around in the back of my mind for a while. Maybe you can fill me in with your vast HR knowledge here. We hire people, and if we, you know, one of the things that's always a problem is, well, they never take a long-term look at the job. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And it's really, I think in a lot of cases, it's our own fault because they say, I want your undying loyalty, and if you screw up, you're out of here. You know, so I mean, essentially, they don't really know week to week if they even have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we hire somebody, we've got a set of, we've got a manual, let's say, that says here's the rules and regs. And basically, if you show up when you say that you're going to show up and you do the things that you say you're going to do, you've got a job here for as long as you want it. True?
No.
I mean, but is that not? I mean, at least effectively true.
No.
That if you do the things that you say that you know that we ask you to do, the way we ask you to do them, that you're in.
I'd be careful with that.
Okay. I mean, I'm just what I'm saying is that basically, you know, as long as I pay you the way I, you know, if I do the things that I say I'm going to do, like pay you on time and pay you the amount of money I said I was going to pay you and so forth. And if you do the things that you said you were going to do, job performance, attendance, attitude, whatever, this thing's going to go on for a while. Whatever a while means.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
No.
Okay.
How many companies are going belly up?
Okay.
That equation.
Okay. Short of guaranteeing hours. Not guaranteeing hours.
There's no guarantee. All I can say is, you commit to us and we'll be committed to you. Kind of like that loyalty equation.
Yeah.
That has been so violated. There's no longer any loyalty.
The thing that I've been looking at, maybe I may well be missing it, or I'm getting screwed up on a technicality. But I didn't see any reason why, since we have essentially created a de facto contract, we couldn't say, look, let's make a deal. We're gonna do this for a year. I'm gonna pay you, and you're gonna do the stuff. I can't guarantee you the hours, because that's going to vary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make a deal for a year. And so now, instead of people looking at it, you know, this week to next week, we can at least say, well, let's look at it between now and next July.
You're talking a whole contractual deal.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that you effectively have it already. I mean, you're not doing anything different than what's already in your manual.
But your manual's not a contract, and I don't think we. You know, if these were rare birds,
mm-hmm.
but restaurant management's not a rare bird, and maybe that might be an interesting.
I'm thinking more of hourly folks.
Might be even to a lesser degree those folks. And their commitment to you is even smaller.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe, if we could get people to take a longer view to it, which means if we took a longer view to them, we said, look, you're gonna be here for a year. Now, if they screw up, if they don't show up, if they don't do the job, they're gone. But that's basically that's breach of contract.
I'll tell you what, we'll do it with that group. Show them the money.
Okay.
Show them the money. I hate to be that, but I think the Gen X, Gen Y group, show them the money, teach them.
Yeah.
Train them. Show them more. Teach them about benefication. Teach them more. There'll be a lot. They'll say, blow it out your ear. But, I mean, honest to God, great stuff. Look at how much people are paying right now to get culinary skills. I mean, you make it fun for people, and you pay them a great wage.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hold on to staff. You don't? You're going to be playing the same game we all do. I don't care how nice you try to treat them. It's just not a livable wage. Everybody's saying, what's your gig? Well, I'm waiting tables right now, but I'm really a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm waiting tables right now, but I'm really an accountant or business consultant. I'm waiting tables right now, but I'm really I'm not really this. I'm really, how many times have you heard that?
What do they call a musician between gigs?
Yeah, well, same. I can't remember the last time I took a town car to the airport where it was not, I'm really a... this or that, but
yeah,
get tired
right.
of that. It's unlike unlike Europe, and even Europe, it's I think it's becoming less and less a profession.
Yeah, it's changing.
I don't know. That's the contract concept's an interesting one.
Well, and then it just seemed to me, 9 months from now, then we sit down and we renegotiate. See if we want to sign you up for another year. See if you want to sign up for another year, and maybe there's a signing bonus and some of that kind of stuff. But let's look at it a year. I'm just trying to think of how do you get people to take a little bit more longer term view to it. And it seems to me the only way that they will is that we have to.
Okay, that might work.
I don't know. Something that's been one of those little weird things that's been rumbling around in the back of my skull from time to time. Well, why not?
Well, there has to be another way, because right now I got to tell you, I'd be very hard pressed to tell my son or daughter, boy, this is a great business to get into. If for no other reason the staffing piece of it, because it is so labor intensive. It can be very rewarding.
Uh-huh.
Don't get me wrong. And there was a time and a place years ago before the government cracked down and started taxing people on all their tips. And when you could get college kids that would be glad to wash dishes. But those days are long gone, my son, my daughter.
Yep.
It's now, you know, Enrique, the Haitian immigrant, who you don't know, you can barely speak to him. And you got service staff that just as soon tell you to go stick it up your ass than extend them. I mean, it's tough to find a group of folks that will really delight the guests. And then once you got them up to speed, well, the guy across the street comes in and, you know, you train him and get him going. They'll steal him out from underneath you. Even if you're bending over backwards to really do a great job of taking care of people, it's that the staffing component is what's making it tough. It's not that, you got the point of sale systems today are great. The accessibility of product is great. The distribution channel are great. I mean, there's so many things that are so much more powerful today in terms of making the business easier. But the thing which is most challenging is that people side.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I look at it from the I look at what our retail folks, sales associate, and guess what? They never have to worry about getting burnt. I never have to worry about them sticking their finger in a deep fat fryer. Or the, mopping the floors. Uh-oh, slip and fall. It is a night and day game.
Mm.
And the money that they make. I mean,
yeah.
They walk out, their clothes don't stink.
that.
I mean, even the retail game is significantly less demanding. And interestingly enough, that leads to the next point. The restaurant business attracts an odd duck. Because we found, as we've gotten very engaging people on the restaurant side, we try to take them to a retail, they go crazy.
Mm.
Because face it, you're in a great restaurant. It's nice and calm, relaxed, quiet. You have a cup of coffee. Let's set up, do our side, get the place going. Open the doors, 11:30. By 12:15, you are slammed till 1:30. Slamming. And then all of a sudden, slows down again, coffee, okay. If you work in a split shift, you may leave for several hours. You come back again, kind of relaxed, maybe have a team meal. Your side work set up, 5 o'clock, doors open, 5:30, 6, 7. Boom, you are a ball to the wall until 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then again, slows down. You know what? That's not the way people buy clothes.
Yeah.
That's not the way people operate in 95% of the... Maybe the airline business, when they turn planes around,
mm-hmm.
and mimic that. But those types of individuals that love that and relish it are a bit on the wacko side because they like living on the edge.
Mm.
And when you put them into a retail world where it's not like that, yeah, you got a couple, holiday time or Father's Day, Christmas season, back to school. There's certain times when, yes, retailers are busy. But it's not like every day at noon people go, it's time to buy men's suits. So they all line up. The tailors are just going like crazy. And then again, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's been very interesting to watch us try to move people from the retail side to the restaurant side.
Does it work better one way than the other?
No.
Yeah.
Retail.
It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, the retail folks go crazy. My God, how can you guys are nuts. You guys are idiots. You're running around like crazy.
And the restaurant guys get bored.
The restaurant guys get bored. My God, how can you deal with this? What do you, how many more times can I fold and fluff this clothing?
Interesting. Well, Thomas, listen, it looks like it's us today.
Yeah, well, listen, it's
so
always a pleasure
okay.
chatting with you, and I hope this is not a sign that people are going to stop their subscription as a result of this. This last tape, I think it might be just a reflection of the summertime.
Well, it's just, you got the holiday, you got a bunch of
things.
Yeah,
just 4th of July, it's a short week, I know.
Plus, the questions that you raised are deeper type questions.
Mm-hmm.
That need a little bit more reflection, so who knows.